Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California. And your brain masseur, get ready for your brain massage. Nimrod, the desert king, calls his rats to rally around his tower. It's time for your brain massage.
Truth, served here, flavored by delectable wit, delicious sarcasm, succulent sagacity, a gourmet meal for the mind.
The line in the sand. Saud Prince, referred to by his friends as His Royal Highness, but called to dinner by his parents as Mohammed, and whose name on his birth cert includes Bin Salman, whose state title is Crown Prince and whose corporate title is Chairman of NEOM, a company board of directors there. That's the guy. He wants to build a city that will preserve 95% of nature. It's all part of Saudi Vision 2030. Ironically, it's billed as Life on the Line. By the way, N-O-E-M. N-E-O-M is Latin Neo with Arabic Mustaqbal. And it means, or Mustaqbal, something like that, it means new future, an Arabic version of the New World Order, Life on the Line. It's against the law to make bad cheese in Wisconsin. Chinese have threatened to shoot down or suggested Pelosi's plane might get shot down if she stops over in Taiwan. Everyone knows that the best way to encourage behavior is to reward it. New York City DA rewards bad behavior, apparently, because he wants more of it. A couple of teens try to beat the subway toll, and when approached by NYPD, the 16-year-old male attacks the officer, throws about 20 punches, puts officer in a chokehold. When finally subdued and taken in, the kid was released without bail within an hour. Same kid 3 days earlier was arrested for beating and robbing a stranger near Madison Avenue and released without bail. I think that was in record time, under an hour. A few months earlier, I understand the same kid was arrested for possessing a .40 caliber handgun and a crossbow in Brooklyn. So let's wait till he enters a school, holds up in a classroom, and kills 20 kids, okay? Then we can blame the gun. Call him a white supremacist, and accuse Trump of instigating the violence because New York liberals don't like the way he combs his hair. Meanwhile, New York DA, what's his name? Here it is. Alvin Bragg is prosecuting Jose Alba. He's the 61-year-old New York bodega clerk, who was violently attacked, stabbed by the girlfriend of the boyfriend, who tried to strangle the man. Alba found a knife, and to save his own, he ended that dude's life. I guess that fellow put his life on the line when he attacked Jose, but New York wants to put Alba in jail for murder? Biden decides to go forward with the ineffective and racist Trump wall. Don't get excited. It's an election year, folks. Weird things like that happen. Here you go, a report from inside. I don't know, Donna Prissy M1, self-styled savage daughter. So I'm going to do some surmising here from her tweet. Quote, so almost our entire ICU staff has COVID. The unvaccinated don't have COVID and are working their rear ends off. This is the most unsatisfying and exhausting I told you so in the history of history. End quote. So she works in a hospital, evidently. And as of July 28, 2022, there has been some kind of an outbreak there of COVID that has almost retired, at least temporarily, the entire ICU staff at home in quarantine. Those on the staff at that ICU who have not been vaccinated are just fine, thank you. And they're having to carry the extra load cast on them by the vaccinated sickies. Oh, and she's very clever. Quote, this is the most unsatisfying and exhausting I told you so in the history of history. Meanwhile, in New York, City of New York, Mayor Eric Adams just fired another 200 city workers for not getting the COVID-19 Cobra virus injection. So far, he has fired 1,752 city workers who refused to bow to Nimrod, who refused to call him your Royal Highness, kiss his ring, you know, or sacrifice their firstborn to his altar. Well, yeah, okay, that's a little much. I take back the part about kissing his ring. House devils are trying to whip the votes they need to ban our right to self-protection. Representative Jim Jordan warns, quote, "They'll never stop until they take all your guns," end quote. Understood and message received. But, dear Jim, that will not be the stopping place. When they get all our guns, that's when it will begin. Taking our guns away is not the end game here. It's the means to the ends. They won't stop till they have us all living in their gilded cage, eating soylent green squared bars. I've heard of those. Made from proprietary ingredients protected from disclosure labeling laws. Those mysteriously disappearing Christians in China, you know. Cannibalism is making a comeback, did you hear? New York Times says, quote, "Cannibalism has a time and a place. Some recent books, films, and shows suggest that the time is now. Can you stomach it?" End quote. Ted Cruz retweeted this New York Times tweet and offered a two-word comment. "Bite me." Oh, that's ironic. The New York Times article is titled, quote, "A Taste for Cannibalism," with a question mark, end quote, published July 23rd. Doesn't that happen to be the beginning of the ancient Egyptian and Sumerian calendar with the rising of Sirius? I mean, seriously. Which some cultures, by the way, in honor of its rising, sacrificed their firstborn males, did they not? Well, actually, I can't find any high confidence documentation supporting the practice of human sacrifice, especially to launch the Sumerian New Year. But, you know, it sounds like those Sumerians, right? So, and I certainly cannot find that they ate them. At least not in honor of Sirius rising. But seriously, as a routine matter of worshiping their gods, they did. For a people become like what they worship, you know. And Zeus, right? After all, he ate his wife to gain her wisdom. Yeah. I don't think that worked, by the way. But then Zeus had a troubled childhood with memories of his own father trying to eat him. Yeah, Kronos ate his kids. Not sure which memory tormented poor Zeus more. His father trying to eat him, or the moment of his revenge, the day Zeus killed his father, Kronos. But I don't think Zeus ate him, did he? No. No, he met his wife, Metis, for lunch, and she was on his menu. I'm making a point here. This business creeped into Israel's culture, my friend. You see, because a people become like what they worship. Kana, by the way, it means priests. And Baal, or Baal, refers to the god of the heathen, Kana's worshipped. And together we get Kanabal. Eating the sacrifice was well established in Israel's cultus. I'll look up the word. I'm not saying the religion Moses gave them by God's inspiration was a cult. Not in the way we use the word, of course. The Jews brought a lamb to the priest who sacrificed it. And the blood was taken and sprinkled on the horns of the altar to atone for their sins. All a portrait of the Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world, who in time was slain upon the cross for our sins. This sacrifice was prepared as a meal for the people to nourish them. Jesus, the Son of God, our Savior, the King of heaven and earth, made himself a sacrifice for us. God will provide himself a sacrifice, said Abraham to Isaac. And Christ bid us celebrate the memorial of his gracious sacrifice on our behalf by eating bread representing his body, and drinking the unfermented fruit of the vine representing his pure blood. "Take, eat," said he, "this is my body." And holding the cup, he declared, "This fruit of the vine represents the blood of the New Testament shed for many for the remission of sins." And he said, "Drink ye all of it." Kronos fed himself upon the corpses of his children. God made himself food for his. A people become like the God they worship. Christians sacrifice themselves on behalf of their children, but the children of Satan sacrifice their children to feed themselves. People become like the gods they worship. Israel departed from God, who fed himself to them, the lion of the tribe of Judah, to worship a goat god that feeds itself on its worshipers. Yeah. The devouring lion that roams about seeking whom he may devour. The devil, the serpent, goat-headed, gender-blended winged cherub, depicted variously the Bible is ox, calf, cherub, among the four magnificent throne cherubs, in homage to the once covering cherub, I think, who had since been cast down for his prideful boast that he would be like the Most High, who met with profound reproof from the one who resists the proud, whose heart is only more holy than it is humble, and humble in the extreme, who, rejecting the proud boast of the covering cherub, cast him off, and while the angered angel watched, howling in rage, the Creator made a man from dirt and put upon him that coveted image. And so with rebellion against God and hatred for man, the once covering cherub went about roaming the earth as a lion, a roaring lion, in search of food, and he has a liking for soylent green. The people become like the God they worship. And Israel, having long departed from the living God, the Creator, who endowed his creatures with his image and likeness, and inalienable rights, by the way, and set all things under his feet, and made himself food for them. But Israel turned instead to worship the God who makes them food, and so soon became like the God they worshiped, and began to make their children food. It's sad but true. First Israel and later Judah. Israel, rejecting their God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, turned to the Kanas of Baal, and during their chastisement, gnashed in defiance of the true God by gnawing upon the bones of their own children. Yeah, the curse of departing from God. It's written in Leviticus 26:29, "You shall eat the flesh of your sons and the flesh of your daughters," quote unquote. And it happened just like God warned during the siege of Samaria by the Syrians. Two mothers agreed to provide their own child to be food for them in their famine. And after eating the one mother's child, the other reneged on the deal and preserved hers. The Israelites had turned to the Kanas of Baal, and so were reduced to cannibalism. It happened to Judah too. In the time that Judah had turned their backs and not their faces to the God of heaven and went and worshiped with the Kanas, remember, means priest, closely associated with Kana, or what is carnal, or that is of the flesh, the Kanas of Baal, they worshiped with the Kanas of Baal. And Jeremiah lamented, quote, "The hands of the pitiful woman have sodden their own children. They were their meat," end quote. And then this, quote, "Shall the women eat their fruit and children of a span long," end quote. It happened to Judah. And I see these foolish young girls today, insane with the howling rage of the God they worship, holding signs that say, "Fetus equal tasty treat." Think about it. And I hear some of them clearly possessed, screaming about how they'd like to kill the baby in their womb. And dark reports of babies eaten in occult rituals. You become like the God you worship. Culture is shaped by the religion you practice. Worship with the Kanas of Baal. And it's no wonder we are beginning to see the rise of cannibals or cannibals. Since we turned our backs and not our faces to God toward the Kanas of Baal, other behaviors once deemed repulsive have come to be tolerated, then accepted, then embraced, and now enforced as like laws or something. The murder of the unborn in the wombs of their mothers, the diseased lifestyle, the homosexual. The latest revolt of nature against this unnatural and revolting behavior is monkeypox, which seems to target and devastate that community. God help us. Gender blending, distorting and ending human dignity, LGBTQ ideology. Culture is shaped by our religious beliefs, and if you worship with the Kanas of Baal, don't be surprised when you find your neighbors eating one another. Hold on to the break, my friends. I'll be right back.
The Brain Massage Show radiates the mind with truth, releasing thought antibodies that attack and destroy lies. Stay tuned. The Brain Masseur is ready to massage your brain. Warning, we have learned that some liberals choke on even a small piece of Pastor Scheibach's mind. The spirit of Antichrist is rising. Christians are the most persecuted group in the world today. And Antichrist sentiment is rising in America too. But remember, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord raises a banner against him. The Spirit of Jesus Christ in us is greater than the spirit of Antichrist in the world. But believers don't understand the ways of the kingdom of God. Jerry's new book teaches you how to wrestle against the principalities and powers that have risen against Christ in America today. Get God's War, Why Christians Should Rule the World. Go to godswar2020.com. Devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singling the enemies on the march. An enemy that would steal from us our liberties. In the last segment, I mentioned the Saud's prince and his line in the sand. It's Saudi Arabia's answer to the globalist Agenda 2030. He calls it Vision 2030. It's his part in the Great Reset. As chairman of NEOM and the board of directors of that company, and by the way, NEOM is Neo with Mostaqbel, and it means new future, a kind of new world order sort of thing. The prince wants to build a city that will crowd 9 million people into a long rectangular box. Yeah, it's 110 miles long. I read one place where it's 105. 1,640 feet tall, 656 feet wide, with a 105-mile series of interconnected neighborhoods winding its way serpent-like through the desert. Each of these will provide everything anyone needs. Within 5 minutes, walk neighborhoods. Yeah, in other words, you can get anywhere you need to get in a 5-minute walk. You won't need a car. In 20 minutes, you can get from one end of the line to the other with the public transportation that'll be available. The walls are mirrors on the outside, so the little critters out there won't even know you're there. 9 million people will be crowded into this huge box. And if anyone misbehaves, I mean, you know, if their social credit score reaches below the limit of dictator Xi Jinping's tolerance, they will know exactly where you are. At every moment, you're there. And they can press a button and lock you inside whatever building you're in. While the CCP Red Arm Band secret police swiftly appear and take you away. And if a neighborhood becomes trouble for the dictators, well, they'll just close passage in or out of that segment, that neighborhood. And if they choose to corral all their little human rats in their boxes, they'll just simply lock the doors to the outside. And the huge prison will not be an unsightly thing with barbed wire and tall fences and all that. You know, it'll be behind mirrored walls that reflect the beautiful landscape of the desert surrounding the long box prison. And if you get real hungry, well, there will always be enough Uyghur meat to go around. And hey, this is all part of the 2030 Great Reset Plan, a kind of modern-day feudalism. So if you need a transplant, no worries. Your keepers, you know, they'll take care of you. You're going to own nothing and be happy. And you see, it works like this. If you're not happy, you'll be removed. Disappeared is what they call it in the CCP-controlled China. And hey, I mean the pragmatic Chinese dictators. Friend, they're not going to feed you, clothe you, take care of your medical needs for nothing. What? Well, you're going to be made useful or discarded. So, as long as your organs are fit for transplant use, you'll be kept alive. If not, you'll become soylent green. And the worshippers of the cannibals will eat their mystery meat with your choice of three flavors in the of the secret sauce, no doubt manufactured on one of Bill Gates' farms, huh? Eh? I sure hope you understand satire. And even more importantly, I hope you know how to see the truth through it. God does not want us living all crammed together, crawling all over one another, bumping, jostling about like a herd being driven to slaughter. But religion is the shared beliefs of a community that shapes its culture. If we reject Christ, who came to bring us life, and that more abundantly, by the way, well, then we're going to come under the power of Satan, who comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. If we worship Christ Jesus, the Lord, well, we tend to become more like him. And so we desire life, and with it, liberty for all, by the way. And you pursue happiness within law and order, and with respect for your fellow man and his divinely endowed rights. But if those who worship the goat-headed, gender-blended winged cherub, well, you know, they, whether wittingly or unwittingly, they partner with him in his purpose to steal, kill, and destroy. That's all he's here to do. That's what Jesus said. And everyone chooses either to confess Jesus is Lord and believe on him for their salvation, or they don't. And they have that choice. And if they don't choose to confess he is Lord and believe he rose again and call on his name to be saved, well, the default for that person is, well, to come under, or actually to remain under, the power of Satan. And virtually everything those folks do will result in stealing something from someone else, and or killing them, or destroying whatever is in the way of their pursuit of whatever it is they call happiness. And if you accost them for trying to beat the toll, they'll beat you. So, this lying thing, what is the spirit operating behind it? How can we discern what spirit it is of? God told us to spread out, to subdue the earth immediately after creation, and then again after the flood. He wants us to spread out, friend. One of his prophets said, "Woe unto them that join house to house, that lay field to field, till there be no place, that they may be placed alone in the midst of the earth," quote unquote, Isaiah 5:8. When Nimrod attempted to defy God's instruction, I mean directly contradict the clear instruction of God to not concentrate yourselves in these densely populated, crowded metropolis monstrosities. Look at every one of them you see active right now, and that's the cesspool of human depravity and all kinds of problems. So anyway, he built a tower, Nimrod did, and he said, "Let us build a city and a tower whose top may reach into heaven, and let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." Genesis 11:4. That was Babel, my friend, and it became Babylon. And he was the first guy to call himself a king. The same area, by the way, on the planet, where Prince Saud, at least in the vicinity, wants to build a city that will be taller than the Empire State Building for its 105-mile stretch, but only 650 feet across. Why? Well, to concentrate humanity in these his little box and reduce the carbon footprint on the planet. Did you know this planet cannot thrive without carbon dioxide? Did you know we are carbon dioxide emitters? Did you know vegetation eats carbon dioxide and releases oxygen into the atmosphere for us that we breathe? Did you know human beings are carbon-based life forms? It's like we're part of the system, man. Do you not understand that this hatred of carbon emissions is really satanically inspired hatred against mankind? You see, the Spirit, capital S, at work in those who confess Jesus is Lord and believe he arose from the dead, well, he is king of the earth right now. And those of us who recognize that understand that all power, authority, right to rule is his in heaven and in earth right now too. And that his Spirit is present in this world in his disciples, who are his servants. And that Spirit brings liberty. Indeed, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. That Spirit wants you to live free, spread out over the planet, enjoy the resources of the planet to sustain your life, of course responsibly, and to thrive in abundant life. That's his desire for you. But you see, there is another spirit at work in this world, lowercase s, and it's Satan. The prince and power of the air, the spirit that works in the children of disobedience, the ones who become angry at the mere notion of Christ ruling the earth. And with hatred, they rail against any idea that a Christian would have any part in ruling this earth. I mean, they really get weird about this. And they make their fist at God and howl, "We will not have that man to reign over us." Where that spirit prevails, there is tyranny. The Spirit of Jesus Christ wants you to enjoy the resources of this planet as masters of the dominion. Yeah, he wants you to subdue it. He gave to man, quote, "every moving thing that liveth," end quote, to be meat. That is food for us, just as he did the green herb. Genesis 9:3. Curiously, the word subdue is kabosh, or kibosh. And it means to tread down, to conquer, to subjugate, to bring into subjection. Yeah, do you understand that the spirit of Antichrist hates that business, right? The spirit that hates Christ's rule and that despises the children of obedience, you know, the Christians, that confess that Jesus is Lord and believe on him as their only hope of eternal life, that spirit of Satan, he wants the opposite. Remember that symbolism really is important to any culture. It's the expression of values in symbolic form. It's the face, if you will, of a culture. Satan is in the Bible symbolized with the creatures of the earth, which God, the Creator, has made subject to man. See the rub? The serpent, for example. Jesus said, we have power to tread upon serpents, to subdue them, to subjugate them. Also the ox and the calf. These have long been images that symbolize Satan. More creatures that are subject to the dominion of mankind. See the rub? This being, who symbolizes with the creatures of the earth, hates man most especially because it was to man that God gave the image and likeness of the Creator. So, do you see it? The spirit that symbolizes with the four-footed beasts and is often symbolized with creeping things like beetles and so on, flies and all that, it should no longer be surprising to you that this spirit moves men to change, quote, the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things, end quote. You see, this spirit manifests in anything that works to subordinate man to nature and that shows hate and resentment and chafes against any notion that nature is to be subordinated to man. I'll speak to this tomorrow in my pulpit, or today if you listen on Sunday a.m., and I'll be in my pulpit at 10:45 in the morning and then 5 p.m. The weirdness we experience when we hear these bizarre people deny nature, right, when it comes to man. They deny natural sexuality. They deny natural gender identity. I mean, it's like they are in all-out war against nature itself. But at the same time, these are the same people who exalt nature over man. Yeah, who are constantly trying to make man lower than nature, a servant to nature. They want to make man a worshiper of nature in defiance of nature's God. And I'll be explaining all this in my pulpit this Sunday. I've lit the lamps in the church belfry arch. You let me know you see they're on. Email me by going to our website at brainmassage.net. That's brainmassage.net. Find the contact button and send me an email. You can leave me a message on our listener response hotline by dialing 1-805-314-2114. God bless you, my dear friends. God bless and save America. And I'll see you in church.
The spirit of Antichrist is rising. Christians are the most persecuted group in the world today. And Antichrist sentiment is rising in America too. But remember, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the spirit of the Lord raises a banner against him. The spirit of Jesus Christ in us is greater than the spirit of Antichrist in the world. But believers don't understand the ways of the kingdom of God. Jerry's new book teaches you how to wrestle against the principalities and powers that have risen against Christ in America today. Get God's War, Why Christians Should Rule the World. Go to godswar2020.com. Come to Lighthouse Baptist Church. Your next brain massage is scheduled for Saturday at 12 noon and Sunday at 7 a.m.